so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 92, if you're there, say amen. If you don't plan on finding it, you're just going to look up on the screen, go ahead. All right, that's about half of y'all. Amen. Here's what it says. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and the harp with harmonious sound. For you, O Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish, for all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed. Would everybody say that with me? I have been anointed with fresh oil. Now say it one more time. Lay hands on yourself. For I have been anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous, here we go, shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the household of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, if that's not you yet, you might as well go ahead and go, well, in the name of Jesus, I ain't there, but I'm headed there. Those who are planted in the household of the Lord shall be, what does it say? Shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. Ooh, come on, somebody. Some of y'all need to grab a hold of that. In my old age, I'm going to still be getting it done. Come on, somebody. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Who? The old folk. And the older I get, the more I like that. Hallelujah. To declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your loving kindness. And God, I pray that you would open up our eyes so we can see your truth. Open up my ears so I can hear your voice. Open up my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you want me to receive. In the name of Jesus, and the church said, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few moments about palm tree Christians. Palm tree Christians. Because if we look at some things you may know about palm trees and others you may not know. Did you know that there are over 300 species of palm trees growing from 3 to 100 foot tall? With over 300 species. The date palm produces over 300 pounds of dates annually. I'm not even sure what a date palm is, but it's just some information in case you're on Jeopardy. The African oil palm, very widely cultivated in the tropics, gives a higher oil yield per acre than any other oil plant. It produces two different types of oil. One from the palm kernels. It is used for making margarine and soap. Didn't know that until I researched. And number two, from the fleshly part of the fruit, it is used more widely for industrial processes. And it's one of the most rapidly expanding plantation crops to date. Now, historically, the palm tree has been called the representative tree of Palestine. It has stood through the years as a symbol of the land of the Lord. In the Middle Ages, large groups of people made pilgrimages to the Holy Land, and the name Palmer was given to the pilgrims. At the triumphant entry of Jesus, as we are celebrating today, that when he entered into Jerusalem before his death, the people broke off palm branches and waved them in front of him, laid them down for his donkey to walk on, even his coat, and was singing and praising the Lord, singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." Now, when a picture of the victorious children of God is given by John in the 7th chapter of Revelation, here's what he says: "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, all of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." The Bible, and of course our text, verse 12, says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." And the palm tree has some characteristics that I believe that you and I ought to look for in our life. That if the Lord said we shall be like a palm tree, you need to know what a palm tree looks like. You need to know the characteristics of a palm tree. That a palm tree doesn't just make a mess in your backyard. That a palm tree is not just where roaches live. Now, you got to take the good with the bad. If you live in Florida, you know that them big palmetto bugs live in palm trees. But they have several characteristics about it that pictures the life of Christians. And let me hurry, because I got a few of them, and I've only got 30 minutes to give them to you. Number one is this: of all the trees on the earth, only the palm tree breaks the bands. What do you mean? When they put the band around it, how many of us have seen, some of y'all are too young to understand this, but how many remember when your mama put a clothesline around an oak tree and it was there so long that the oak tree just consumed that line? Well, that ain't gonna happen with a palm tree. All other trees do not break the bands put around them. But as the tree grows, the bands dig into the wood and the band becomes a part of the tree. So the palm tree breaks the bands as it grows, and it will not allow it to become a part of it. Now, what does this got to do with me, Pastor? Well, prior to becoming free by the Son of God, the bands of sin and the bands of this world had cut into us and was an active part of our life. But when you got saved, you ought to be outgrowing the bands that the world has tried to put on you. You ought to be outgrowing the bands of what society has put on you, and begin to understand that whatever the world or the devil or the enemy puts on me is not going to become a part of me, because I'm going to outgrow it in the name of Jesus. Now, you think that's something. It's the same thing as when the Bible says that the anointing breaks the yoke in 27 and 10. Because it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Here's what that means. If you research it out, it means that the bull that or the ox that's carrying the load, the ox that's carrying the yoke, it begins to get fat. It begins to get strong. It begins to get too great. And it can't fit into the yoke that it once fit into. It's the same concept. Bless God. If you've been saved, you need to understand that you don't fit into the same circles that you used to fit in. You don't fit into the same places that you used to fit in. I just can't do some of the things that I used to do because the bonds of sin have been broke off of me. I refuse. If you're going to be a child of God, you cannot allow the bands of sin to consume you and to come up in you. They have no part of you. So you be like the palm tree and you break the bands of addiction. You break the bands of undiscipline. You break the bands of this society and say yes to the bands of God. The child of God can have victory through Christ to break the band of sin in our lives, and we have the option. And we do not have to continue in sin after salvation. Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verses 11 and 14 out of Romans 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have, my God. Verse 14, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody. Somebody needs to write this down because maybe you ain't been serving the Lord long enough. But Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over me. It shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Sin will not have dominion over me. You may be wrestling with it, but it will not have dominion. Well, Pastor, I wrestle. Well, as long as you're struggling, it means that it hadn't got you. It will not have dominion over me. I might fall, but the Bible said that a righteous man get up seven times and walks on. I refuse to allow the sin of this life or the bands of this life to keep me down because God has called me up and out of from where he saved me. Number two is this, the palm tree will bend but not break. Woo! See, if the Lord would let me put another beatitude in Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes, I would put, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break when they are bent. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about flexible in commitment. I'm not talking about flexible in your conviction. But I am talking about there are some people, you get one thing out of whack in their life and their whole life is just turned upside down. Listen, trying to find a parking spot at the church is not spiritual warfare. Just because somebody sit in the seat that you normally sit in is not spiritually warfare. The palm tree will bend but not break. The strong winds of storms uproot and break ordinary trees. How many of you, if you've lived in Florida any length of time, you know you've been through some hurricanes. You don't see too many palm trees snapped in half. You might see them bend. You might see them bowing down. But they, my God, you might see them almost touching the ground. But they're still rooted. They're still grounded. And they're going to come back. Honey, some of you need to tell your situation. I might be bending over, but I'm not going to break. I'm not going to back down. I'm still rooted in God. I'm still rooted in my salvation. I'm still rooted in the Word of God. And I will not break. I might bend, baby, but I'm not going to break. Come on, somebody. In 1979, I went through Hurricane Frederick when the winds broke thousands of pine trees in South Alabama, toppled hundreds of mighty oak trees. Just like these natural storms, the storms of life can cause many disasters, especially to those who are not serving God. But understand this, just because you are a child of God does not make you storm or weatherproof. It's different though. It doesn't make you weatherproof, but what it does say is that you can take a licking and keep on ticking. What it does say is that, bless God, it might bow, but I'm not going to break because I know in whom I help believe. I believe in Christ Jesus. And matter of fact, if I am knocked down, then I know that my God shall pick me back up and bring me back, because you can't lose with God. Understand it, church. The palm tree will bend with the storm, but the palm tree does not break with the storm. Number three, the palm tree not only survives, but flourishes in the desert. Because here's why. Here's why. The roots of a palm tree doesn't wait for the water to come to it. Its roots stretch to find the water wherever it may be. If it's over here, I'm going to get me some water. If it's down here, I'm going to get me some water. Wherever the moisture is, I'm going to find it. I'm not waiting for the water to come to me. You know what that tells me? That tells me, as children of God, we don't need to quit waiting for Jesus to pass by, but let's go to where he is. Let's quit waiting for God to touch us, and let's begin to touch God. Touch him with your praise. Touch him with your sacrifice. Touch him with your anointing. Touch him. You have the ability to touch him. No one in their right mind likes desert experience. Anybody ever show up on a car lot and want to buy a lemon? I promise you ain't ever walked on the car lot and go, hey, you got one of them lemons I've heard about. You got one of them cars, when I'm late for work, it ain't going to crank. That's the kind I want. I want one right when the warranty is over, I want everything to go wrong with it. You got one of them cars. Nobody in their right mind likes a desert experience. Nobody in their right mind wants to go, hey, you know what, man? I've lived in the plush. I just want to go to the desert. I just want to live there and struggle. If you're that person, something is mentally wrong with you. And you need some help. Because nobody likes it. But the palm tree does not simply grow in the desert. It flourishes. As a child of God, we will make it in this desert world. As a child of God, the roots of our tree go deep below the burning sands, like the palm tree, and finds moisture deep below the surface. See, that's why, you know, I've been doing this a little while now. I've been pastoring for 26 years. I started when I was 10. And I've been doing this for a little while now. And I've heard people tell me this. Well, Pastor, I'm just not being fed by you. I go, okay, well, you know. A couple of times I've said, well, you only come to eat once a month. And then sometimes I tell them, well, every time you come to eat, you keep pushing the plate back. I keep feeding it, but you just keep pushing the plate back. But here's the deal. Let me think now. Let me make sure. I don't want to. Not to her detriment, because my wife will cook anytime I want her to. But yesterday, my wife didn't cook nothing. But I still ate. Are you listening to me? See, some of y'all just wait. Some of y'all just looking for one place for your meal. Because here's, let me tell you, I ain't a baby. I know how to make a sandwich. Now, I didn't eat one yesterday because we was going off to other places. I ate good. Don't get nervous. You can look at me and say, I'm going to eat good. Right? But there's some Christians who think that their only nourishment is going to come from one source. You got to understand that if you've got a Bible, and if you don't have one, we'll help you get one. But you got a Bible, and I don't care if nobody ever preaches to me. I don't care if the preacher preaches on something that don't touch me. I got
got my own word, and I'm going to get mine. I'm not going to dry up and die on the vine, because I'm going to go wherever. My roots are going to stretch wherever the moisture is, and I'm going to get what I need from God. Because let me tell you something, honey. I ain't looking to man to feed me. I'm a grown man, and I'm a growing Christian. And if I got to fix my own meal, that's what I'm going to do. Help me, somebody. Likewise, the Christian must go deep with God if he's going to flourish. Now, to go deep, we must live the Christ life. See, some folks want to go deep without digging. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live is the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To go deep, we must have a prayer life. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Then I'm not talking about that you just need theology, but you need some neology, not just some psychology. But many Christians are not flourishing because they're not seeking the nourishment, or they're only seeking the nourishment on the surface. Pentecostals are worse, because Pentecostals, we feel. So Pentecostals, you know, we get the chicken going. Oh, glory. Don't be offended. But we feel that. And therefore, if we don't feel, we feel like we're not being fed. You got to understand that if you're going to be a shallow Christian with your roots just up on the surface, some of the biggest trees, their roots are just surfacey. That's why it's so easy to topple them over. You ever see folks that, man, you think they're all that in a bag of chips and some government cheese? You see them in church and they look all spiritual. You see them in church and they're all that. And then the least little thing come by and just knock them out of their. You're like, they didn't have anything to them. No, their roots just wasn't deep. Their roots wasn't deep. I've seen pine trees, and they're supposed to have that one root that goes deep. I've seen them just topple because it's outside. But, man, you don't see that with a palm tree. You need to understand that as Christians, our roots don't need to just be shallow. It needs to be deep. See, that's why. That's why when the Lord saw fit, I don't understand it, but when the Lord saw fit to take home two of my brothers within 18 months, that I could still get up and preach each Sunday. Not because, well, that's your job. No, not that. Because I know in whom I have believed. That I know, my roots are deep enough that even when I don't understand him, I'll trust him. My roots are deep enough when I can't trace his hand, I'll trust his heart. My roots are deep enough that I just trust God. Come on, somebody. Many Christians aren't like that. See, we are to tap deep into the Word of God, into prayer. Number four, a group of palm trees forms an oasis. A group of palm trees forms an oasis. One palm tree standing alone will provide some shade from the burning sun, but a group will form an oasis. Stay together. Stand as Christians. That's why you need other people in your life. You need Christians in your life. That's right, preacher. I'm going to leave everybody that ain't Christian. I unfriended everybody that ain't a Christian on Facebook. Well, how do you expect them to see the light? That's why I don't hang around anybody but Christians. Well, how do you expect them to see the light? Now, listen to me when I say that. There are some people you can't hang around because they know your buttons. They lead you instead of you leading them. And those people you might have to kick to the curb. Those people you might have to just dust your feet off and go on by. But you need people in your life. But a group of palm trees forms an oasis. Stay together and stand as Christians. Get in and stay in a New Testament church. I'm going to say that again. get in and stay in a New Testament church. Well, but Brother Reed, I've been to church and I've been hurt. Didn't I tell you that cockroaches live in palm trees? And if you're going to deal with the shade, you want to deal with the cockroaches. Come on, somebody. But I've been hurt. Get over it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. An oasis provides shade for the weary traveler. An oasis can provide focus for living. Often in the desert, you'll find a fruit tree growing under the shadow of the palm trees. Whew. Somebody hear me. See, that's if you want to know if the church is an oasis, look for some fruit. Look for some fruit. Is there any fruit growing? When we group ourselves together in church, we provide shade for the weaker than ourselves. This is why Hebrews 10:25 is so important. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Number five, the palm tree can withstand abuse. Mm-mm-mm. The vulnerable areas of an ordinary tree are on the outside. The vulnerable areas of ordinary trees are on the outside, but the vulnerable part of a palm tree is on the inside. Huh? You can rip stuff off on the, you can rip the bark off the palm tree. It's all right. It's going to grow back. No big deal. You can rip all of them off. It'll grow back. It'll be all right. The outward abuse does not affect the life or the quality of the palm tree. And likewise, because we have life, and that life is resurrected in Christ deep within us, in our hearts, we also can live free from the vulnerabilities of the world of sin. But here's what he said, Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. The child of God is within. 1 Corinthians says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yet the outward man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. Glory to God. Number six, the older the palm tree, the sweeter the fruit. Come on, somebody. Ooh. Last Sunday, we sang happy birthday to Mama Jones, Hazel Jones, 95 years young. Yeah, go ahead. She'll more than likely, she'll be in the 11 o'clock service. And you want to talk about sweet? That's a sweet woman. Now, that doesn't mean that all old people are sweet. And I'll just go one step further. I really dislike cantankerous old people. But let me go one step further. I really dislike young cantankerous people. What I have learned is mean old people used to be mean middle-aged people. And usually mean middle-aged people were mean somewhere in earlier their life. Something happened to them that caused them to be mean. See, as a child of God, we shouldn't be mean, number one. But the older the palm tree, the sweeter the fruit. Psalms 92:14, for they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. Well, they got that part right. And flourishing. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I remember I could lose 5 pounds in a day back in the day. I can't lose 5 ounces in a day. As Christians grow older, they should grow sweeter. Because you begin to understand God more. you begin to understand them. Palm growers say that it's the older trees with heavily scarred trunks that have the sweetest fruit. My God, somebody hear me. See, have you ever talked, don't point at nobody, but have you ever talked to people who ain't ever went through nothing? They haven't never went through anything. They've never been through anything. Well, they're not as sweet as folks who have been through hell and back, but they still standing. You can talk to them and they'll say, oh man, I know what you're going through. You know, you talk to somebody who ain't ever been through nothing, they don't know what you're talking about. And the least little wind begins to blow them over. But when you've been through some stuff, see, some people go through stuff and never make it back from the stuff they go through. And I've got to attribute that they really wasn't palm trees. They really wasn't rooted. Because if you root it, no matter what you go through, it'll grow back. Now listen. My wife came up here this week and she did all this stuff that she did. I told her what I wanted, told her exactly how I wanted her to put everything. Y'all don't believe that for some reason. But she came and decorated and she brought this plant. Now right now it's looking a little pitiful. But when she brought it up here, it was beautiful. But something happened between Thursday and now. The sun hadn't hit it. My God, that'd preach right there. And it's had no way to get water. So I called her this morning, just as a matter of fact, about 30 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago. And I said, this thing looking rough, baby. I said, everything looks good. I said, do you have another one at home? She said, no, I don't have another one. She said, give it some water. I said, will it come back? She said, oh, it'll come back. I said, in 15 minutes? She goes, no. But that's what some of us are looking for. Some of us are looking for. We're all droopy. We're all dry. Come on, somebody. You dry and droopy, and you want one service to bring you back. You want one high to bring you back. It ain't that way, baby. It's going to take a little bit of time. Even if you're going to douse now. Where is old head at? Where's old boy? Did we put some water in it? Okay, we put water in it? But it still don't look no better. But I'm believing. I'm believing by next Sunday when we don't need it. It's going to look good. I've seen it happen before. Sometime today, it's going to start perking up because it's got some water. Listen to me, church. Just because you went to a church service, somebody prayed for you, somebody prayed with you, maybe you prayed a prayer, but nothing has changed yet. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. You just go ahead and stand the test of time and say, bless God, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know that I'm coming back. The scars of life produce the fruit of holiness. The trials of life conform us to the image of Christ. Probably most people know this scripture. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Notice it didn't say it works for my good. It works for the good. And those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Number, where am I at? Number 7, I think. Yeah, number 7. The palm tree cannot be grafted. Yeah, that's what they said. Vicky said, really? I could be wrong. You could Google it. But from my understanding, horticulturists say if you try to graft a palm tree, you will kill it. My God. Well, that got me to thinking. Well, they say that each palm tree is distinctive and unusual in the same species, uniquely different, and this is why grafting kills it. Likewise, for a Christian to allow himself or herself to be grafted back into the world is to kill the testimony and influence of that Christian. My God, that'll preach. I need to do a series right there. Some of us are trying to be grafted back into what we used to be. No, behold, all things have become new. All things have been passed away. You wondering, oh, Lord, my wife ain't here. Brother Cash ain't here to help me. Woo. Matter of fact, Pastor Steve done stepped out. Pastor John's out chalking. Sandra's here, though. Sandra's been here longer than anybody else in this church. So she knows me. So just help me. The problem is we try to serve God and get grafted back into the stuff we used to do and wonder why we ain't got no power and wonder why we don't have any testimony and wonder why nobody won't listen to us because we ain't no better than they are. Ah, glory to God. Listen, let me just give you an example. There was a guy who used to come to the church. He still comes. I have to change it if he's in the 11 o'clock service. But he would come to the church, and I've known him for 20 years. He would come to church, always broke. Anybody know somebody like that? Always broke. Ain't got two nickels to rub together. Always asking for some money. Always asking me for money. And then all of a sudden, he comes up and says, Pastor, you know, I've been coming to this church a long time. I go, yeah, you have. He said, I think I'd like to do a class on finances. I said, what? He said, people need to know how to use their money correctly. I go, you are absolutely right. Well, I think that I'm going to take this course and then I'm going to teach it. I go, no, you're not. What? I said, you can take the course, but you ain't teaching it here until I see the fruit of it in your own life. You ain't got nothing to say to me. Right? Listen, if you having marital trouble, don't go to somebody who's been married 9 times. Y'all think I'm kidding. I know a woman been married 9 times. 3 to the same guy. She don't go to the church here. She don't live here. She's in North Florida where they can marry their brother. But anyway. Hey, I'm from South Alabama. Y'all leave me alone. No, I didn't marry my sister, just my first cousin. No, I'm kidding. All right, I'm getting off. Y'all messing with me now. Where am I at? All right. Thank you. Here's what Paul said. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When he says, I beseech, it literally means, I am begging you therefore, brethren. When a Christian hooks up with the world, he injures his service for Christ and gives the whole Christian community a black eye. Listen, number 8. I'm supposed to be done. The palm tree will not burn. Anybody ever try to burn a palm tree? I did not learn that lesson in a book. First of all, I about ruined a chainsaw cutting one. And then I piled it up on my burn pile like I was going to burn it. That thing's still sitting there. And I've been gone from that property 10 years. I went by it the other day. It was still sitting there. I was like, somebody ought to put that thing on a trailer and take it off. Do not use palm tree for firewood. Because it refuses to burn like ordinary wood. the true child of God will never, not even for a moment, suffer the fires of hell. He will never burn. And he or she is a palm tree. We will never burn. Come on, somebody. Not so with even the mightiest if they don't have hope in Christ. They can be the biggest, the baddest, what looked to be the most stable. When all is said and done, all of it will burn but the palm. Church, understand. Let me skip some things here. Let me get down to the last one. I got to quit. Come on, help me close. The last one, number 9. The palm tree is an evergreen. The palm tree is an evergreen. It's always alive. The evergreen is a symbol of immortality. As the pastor of 26 years, I've lost count, but I know hundreds of funerals. A church our size, I've been in the community a long time. I've done hundreds of funerals. And it's always easier when I get to do a funeral for somebody I know that I know that I know knows Christ. Because they're an evergreen. We lay their body down, but their spirit lives forever. Immortality. The most quoted scripture of all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18 says, and he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he that not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then I love John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So that tells me, as a Christian, I'll live forever. As a child of God, you know, when you see a palm tree, and I got to quit. Good Lord. When you see a palm tree, there is no wondering in your mind. If you know what a pine tree looks like, you don't look at the palm and go, huh, I wonder, is that a pine palm? No, they're distinct. You know it. And let me tell you this. You get around a Christian, they're distinct. You know it. I'm not talking about somebody who's got religion. Somebody who has a relationship. You get around somebody who doesn't just go to church, but somebody who worships the God of the church where they go. You know what I'm saying? I don't go to church because I ain't got nothing else to do. I didn't start pastoring because this is what I want to do. I didn't start pastoring because I couldn't make it out in the real world. No, baby. The God of this church is not a platform. It's not a person. It's not a program. It's Yeshua. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah God. Yeshua HaMashiach. It is our God, our Redeemer, our Father. That's who. So I don't want anybody to confuse me. The palm tree's an evergreen. Come on, stand to your feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. I give you my word. I'm not going to ask you to come up here and walk the aisle. But if you don't know Jesus, but you want to, right where you are, would you just slip up a hand and say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus. I don't know him, but I want to. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, everybody in this building, would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. I accept you as my Savior. And I believe that you died on the cross for me. Today I confess you with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that you are the Christ, the Son of God, my Savior, my Redeemer. And I accept you today forevermore. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.